A very good morning to you. Mary Fagan here with you this morning, Pentecost Sunday on Horizons. On the programme, we have Catherine McCormack telling us about Grace. It's a research project. And we have Marlene Fitzpatrick sharing her ideas on women in the church. And Professor Eck looks at Isaiah's story of the lion and the sheep. First up, Bishop Ray Brown. Bishop Ray Brown, thank you very much for joining us this morning, Pentecost Sunday on Horizons.
Good morning, Marian. Good morning to all tuned into Horizons this morning.
And I believe that last Sunday you were in Kinmare celebrating the last Mass with the St. Clair sisters. How did it go?
Yes, the weather was beautiful. It was a lovely gathering, a full church at 12 o'clock last Sunday, remembering and honouring these sisters of St. Clair. There was actually seven sisters there. The leadership team came. Sister Julie, the Abbess General, they came, and there was, in fact, seven the first day they started in 1861, so it was an amazing link. And afterwards there was food for all and a great gathering for all.
That is lovely, and it's a remarkable history they have shared with the people of Kinmare, and not just Kinmare, that whole area, the education they brought there.
Yes, 160 years, how many generations is that? They lived by the same rule of life that was written first for St. Clair of Assisi 800 years ago, and still continues throughout the world. If you think of it, since 1861, in their story, you can see the journey of education. Back then, it was basic literacy, and gradually a solid primary school, moving on to secondary. If you think about it, almost 60 years ago, free education came to Ireland. But, you know, it was steady for 100 years before that. See how it has evolved since to the fine public school in Inverskena that's there now. So in many ways you can see the evolution of education in a small Irish town in the Sisters of St. Clair. You know, and they were at the centre of it, working with, getting great assistance and support from people all around. But they were at the centre of giving Kinmare people every chance in education as best they could in each of the decades over that long period.
They've left a fine legacy.
Yes, the legacy is of faith and education. And faith in the sense of, you know, love God and love your neighbour. Love creation, respect creation. They found a way to work with the people to respond to the needs of the community. From now on, it's the challenge for the community. It's the challenge for the parish community where there's need to enrich their community for the youth or for the elderly or where homes and families have health difficulties, be they mental health, physical health, or intellectual disabilities. The sisters took the lead in so many things over the past times. Now it's for the community, and the community have the skills, and the community have the faith, and the community have the tradition of love of neighbour, of looking out for those in need, of helping those in trouble. Please God, it will. That will continue. You sense that from the spirit of the community there last Sunday. People who had worked with them over the years, those in the school now, at every level you sensed that there's a great community there that will enable Kinmare to be at its best, at its Christian best, in faith, hope and love, in the decades to come.
There is a great atmosphere there and a great appreciation I found when I was down in Kinmare, and we'll feature them again during the month of August on Horizons. A remarkable contribution there locally.
Yeah, so thanks to all involved, thanks to all who made it possible, to all who journeyed there. And there was family members who had sisters or aunts as sisters there. And I remember some of those sisters spent their whole lives in that one community. So it was lovely to see family members, I think from Moyvan, from Baradu, from Killarney itself, out Muckross Way. Lovely to see family members there.
It was great you were there. Knock! We're emphasising Knock a lot in the diocese over the coming months with the pilgrimage at the end of August. Knock has a special place in your heart, Bishop Ray.
Yes, we're a long way from Knock down here, but my home was an hour and a half's drive from Knock when I was in the diocese. At times I was just the hour from Knock. So every year I was there a number of times. Our own diocesan pilgrimage every year used to be on the Sunday after the 15th of August. That was the Elphin diocesan day, and buses came from all over. That hasn't been possible for Kerry, you know, because of the roads and the journey, too much for up and down the one day. But now with such a good road, pretty much from Limerick to Knock, it's possible. And thus we're beginning our pilgrimage.
What do you see as being so special about Knock?
When I was young, maybe two or three times a year, my mother would catch the bus to Knock for the night vigils. The bus would leave at Lone maybe at around 7:30. The vigil would go from 10 or 11 until 5. The bus would be back in at Lone by 7 or 7:30. But I often wonder, with 7 young children, you know, what meaning that had for my mother. People went to Knock just to have time with God. I think being in Knock, being together with hundreds of other people gathered at Knock, it helped people to renew their trust in God. And it helped people to see the bigger picture and see that they had come through worries and cares in the past, the current worries and cares, that they would come through them too. I see Knock in terms of ordinary people, their ordinary life's journey, their faith in God, their worries and concerns, their hurts and their fears, that they come to Knock seeking hope, seeking healing, and finding a trust that we'll journey on, God will guide us, all will be well. And, you know, there's a huge new mosaic over the altar. There are hundreds of thousands of pieces in it. But at the bottom of the mosaic is all the people who were there at the apparition, 15 or 17, whatever it was. I think those people now stand for us all, turning to God, asking his help, that he be our strength and be our guide. Knock is for ordinary people with their ordinary troubles.
Yes, Knock is very accessible to us. And it seems like you really believe in the value of the pilgrimage, Bishop.
Yeah, I hope in 7 or 8 years' time we'll have established an annual pilgrimage. You know, think of how Medjugorje is established. So many pilgrimages go there. How Lourdes is, the diocesan pilgrimage each year. Equally, some from the diocese were in Fatima for the big celebration there 2 weeks ago. Equally, Loch Derg and Kirkpatrick. So it would be lovely just if the people of Kerry, a representative group, if they gather at Knock, 26th of August, it's on a Saturday. It'd be lovely in a few years' time if we've established that as our day to go on pilgrimage. You remember how often it's in the Bible that Jesus rose early in the morning and went off to a quiet place to pray. It's a quiet journey to Knock, quiet space there, to turn to God. So I just love to think that, you know, in a few years' time, an annual pilgrimage to Knock will be a regular part of the life of the church here in Kerry.
And there's a special prayer.
It's the Novena Prayer of Knock. Just to read some lines from it. Our Lady of Knock, Queen of Ireland, you give hope to your people in a time of distress and comforted them in sorrow. You have inspired countless pilgrims to pray with confidence to your divine Son. Help me to remember that we are all pilgrims on the road to heaven. Fill me with joy and concern for my sisters and brothers in Christ, especially those who live with me. Comfort me when I am sick, lonely or depressed. Teach me how to take part more reverently in the Holy Mass. Saint Joseph, chosen by God to be the husband of Mary, the protector of the Holy Family, the guardian of the Church, protect all families in their work and recreation, and guard us all on our journey through life. So just see how down to earth it is. People living by faith, hope and love. People turning to God for help and turning to God to give thanks.
Now, this is Pentecost Sunday, which we associate with the Holy Spirit. What are your thoughts on Pentecost Sunday, Bishop Ray?
It's, in a sense, the completion of Easter. Easter is in three parts. Christ rose and appeared to the apostles to consolidate the teaching. He rose and appeared to the apostles, then ascended to the Father. Last Sunday, that was. And now, this Sunday, we celebrate the third part, sending the Holy Spirit. Remember his words, beautiful words in the Gospel. I will not leave you orphans. God hasn't abandoned us. God is with us. And he spoke also of leading us to the truth. God will guide us on the path of life.
And you have completed the confirmations at this point.
Yes, and it would be nice, you know, if this Sunday was special, you know, for the girls and boys confirmed, and could be close to 2,000 any one year, and special for their homes and families, and special for their grandparents, and all connected with them. You know, the central words of confirmation, send your Holy Spirit on these being confirmed to be their helper and guide. And that's the heart of confirmation. Journeying through life, we give of our best. We're not on our own. We're supported by those around us. But we believe and we know that there's something more. God is at work. God's plan for us is unfolding. The Holy Spirit is with us. We're looking at our lives, God's plan unfolded. At difficult times, God was our strength. God guided us and it worked out. If we can say that of our own lives, if we have trust in God, then that's the faith we're seeking to hand on to the girls and boys receiving the sacrament of confirmation.
Bishop Ray, thank you very much for joining us this morning. All our music on the programme this morning will have the theme of the Holy Spirit.
We talk of the fruits of the Spirit, and three of them are kindness, goodness and gentleness. They're a mark of a Christian. This Pentecost Sunday, may the Spirit be with everyone in their needs this day, especially those who are troubled or who have difficulties to try to sort out. May they trust in the Spirit, may the Spirit guide them. God bless to all listening to Horizons this morning.
Miriam Therese Winters, Spirit of God.
Spirit of God in the clear running water, blowing to greatness the trees on the hill. Spirit of God in the finger of morning, fill the earth, bring it to birth and blow.
Patrick from Iowa, but now living in Castonbere, directs the choir in Castonbere Church. She's a very experienced woman. She's nearly 90 years of age and has been involved in the church all her life, in the States and here in Ireland. Marlene, there are things about the church that make you sad.
Definitely, yes. For years now, I have followed Father Richard Rohr, a Franciscan from the United States. He founded a Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And he just writes, I mean, I now realize that God is love. And we really didn't hear much about that when I was growing up in the pre-Vatican II church. And another person, Sister Joan Chittister, who is an Erie Benedictine, and I have followed her writings for years. I actually went to Dublin a few years back where she was in conversation with Mary McAleese at Trinity College. And she's such a voice for women. And I think until the church wakes up and recognizes the fact that it's being held up by the women. I mean, if the women were to say, I'm out of here, there wouldn't be. there would not be an organized church.
Why is it taking so long for that to be realized, Marlene?
I think it's the whole patriarchal power. It's a power thing. They don't want to let go of the power that they hold. I mean, not that they hold much power anymore, because I mean, look at where the church is. Women have so much to offer. Like when I was back in the States, we were very involved in something called the RCIA, the Rite of Christian Initiation for Adults. Another woman and I actually ran the program in our parish, in the two parishes in town, kind of combined, ran that program with very little input from the priests. They would come and they would talk to them, you know, but basically it was Mary and I who ran this program. And that was hopeful. There are places. We'd spent about 10 winters in Florida with my brother, and there was a parish there, big parish, very active. I mean, huge, lots of activities going on, you know, education, and they've lost the laity. And they've lost a lot of women.
So what can we do about that one way or another?
I'm not sure. I guess we could become more active voices in parish councils if parishes have parish councils. There needs to be education programs or, you know, days of renewal or something where people can become energized. For instance, in our parish back home, after Mass, the priest doesn't leave the altar. The priest walks down through the congregation, stands out in the entrance of the church, and chats with people. I mean, you've got to become engaged with your people. And if that's not happening, the Sunday sermon just isn't going to do it anymore.
Marlene Fitzpatrick, thank you very much.
Marlene and I will talk again. After the break, I chat with Catherine McCormack about grace.